coming at you live from Austin, Texas. It's the Made for Podcast Movies podcast. All right, cool.
Hey, welcome. Guys.
This is going to be kind of a last minute special.
Hey, yeah. This is not the Social Network podcast, Dylan.
Not the Social Network podcast. That's going to be coming in a week, and we'll talk about tour at the tail end of the show.
Yeah.
But as all us film buffs and
all the contemporary critics,
all the contemporary critics were weighing in on the subject. We felt we needed to throw our hat in the ring. So the Oscars. The Oscars were last week.
Academy Awards.
They were officially about a week ago, week from recording this right now. And Phil came over, my brother came over, and I had a couple other friends.
Had the roommates involved.
One of the other, which is Stephanie, who's, you'll probably hear her voice a couple of times.
Yeah.
I set up some mics, and we kind of just recorded some dialogue while we were watching it.
Yeah, super low-key and informal and very chill. It's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. And I didn't think we were going to try to make a podcast out of it or anything like that, but I just thought it would be interesting to kind of check and go back on and see what we were talking about and what our dialogue and what direction it was going.
Mm-hmm.
And we picked up a lot of things.
Yeah.
Mostly, I picked three conversations we're going to play here, but a lot of things and not so much about movies.
Yeah. But, we're talking the big issues here.
Yeah. And I think that was kind of, I don't know if you've, been paying attention at all in the media. The big story out of this Oscars was that there was no black people nominated
and
for anything.
The Oscars are racist.
No. we talked about that. And there's a lot of knowing, the Hollywood and its ultra-liberal take on the world and the fact that they all like the smell of their own assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a lot of just, patting on the backs. But and that always happens every year. That's come to expect it. But there's something very weird about the fact that they acknowledge, they're talking about being these arbiters of free speech and, talking about the things that really matter.
The symbols, yeah.
There's no black people being nominated for anything. And I'm not, and again, I think let's get into the politics of that a little bit later, but about what really happened. And so what we're trying to say, though, is that during the Oscars, most of what we talked about were, pretty heated debates about political issues and stuff.
Right, and social issues that are very hot topics right now.
Right, absolutely. So really quick, I thought we'd be cool just before the Oscars talk about our stances on the Oscars. For instance, what did you watch the Oscars as a kid?
Yeah, definitely with my family. I never really I guess I cared for the Oscars, but as I grew up, I was just this is bullshit to an extent. It really is just a circle jerk in the end. But if you look at the history of it, there's something special there. It used to mean something more. It used to be literally the highest honor you could receive in this art form. And I think they were better at it. I think it's become more political in terms of promoting some sort of artistic agenda or social agenda or something,
you know?
And we'll get into that in our good friend Mike Movies will put it very well later in the episode.
Definitely.
Sorry, let me wrap up. I was gonna say it's a guilty pleasure. I love that shit. I'll knock it all the time and I was I bet Leo doesn't even care and shit like that. I've been saying stuff like that for years, but I still watch it at the end of the day.
I'm in a similar boat as well. I always grew up watching it, with me and my mom.
I watched it with your family last year. That was awesome.
That's right. I mean, dude, me and my mom, we used to I remember she'd buy candy and prizes and we'd fill out fake ballots and do fun stuff like that. And
I got a nightlight from her.
Yeah,
I got
she would
third
do,
last year.
Oh, but I mean, even when we were kids, she would do stuff like
that's
that.
Awesome.
It was awesome. And even, it's the one thing outside of football and the news that my dad would mosey on in and of course watch a little bit of it. It's one of those things that everyone's gonna watch it at least. And which is not all award shows have that. I can't remember the last time I watched the Grammys.
Yeah,
for Christ's sakes. Yeah,
yeah.
Or but I mean, it's not they're any more bullshit than the Oscars, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
I have a similar relationship, though, as I got older. It's the illusion starts to fade a little bit. And then you start to see, especially once, someone who I like to engage in the occasional creative endeavor as we are doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed something about art is that just the idea of giving stat awards or saying one piece of art is better than the other.
Well,
you and
I
we have, we
I
have
think
big
there is
conversations
some
about this.
I think recognition is also a big part of it because, when you think of the Oscars, it's there's some no-brainers. Mad Max won all those technical awards.
But I mean,
Big Short got original screenplay, and then like Brie Larson won Best Actress. Like those were no brainers, and those deserved recognition.
I don't know. You got to be careful with no brainer compared to like based on whose agenda, whose opinion.
I guess that's true.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Like you could say that The Revenant deserves some of those technical awards, but based because it was like a harder production,
which was a no brainer as well.
Right. But I'm just saying though, it's like there's always going to be someone out there that doesn't agree.
I think I mean no. No brainer in terms of what they're stacked against.
Right.
You know, it's easier to make that call.
Right.
Like, there's no way after seeing Room, I was like, oh, that was the best female performance. But when I saw the other options of, or recognitions, I was like, dude, definitely Brie Larson.
Yeah, it gets tough when I'm very firmly, and there's different philosophers that have taken different stances on this all throughout time about how they deal with aesthetics and beauty.
And awards.
And yeah, but I'm kind of against the idea I'm very firmly in the group of art being subjective.
Absolutely.
You know? And I agree. Whole argument of people going like, well, you're saying like three lines on a piece of paper versus like the Mona Lisa. You think three lines on a piece of paper could possibly be better? No, I don't think that. But I think that if someone were to tell me they like those three lines, that they're not objectively wrong.
Well, playing devil's advocate a little bit, I'm not even going to say the Oscars, like film critics, and there are like intellectuals who specialize in film, like they probably have a better idea objectively of what makes this movie. Like, for example, The Revenant. Maybe they'd have a better objective standpoint as to why it got the recognition it deserved. You know, like we're more than average casual film goers, I would say. But like most people who do are like, I would have no idea what makes a great film great. And I'm not even saying I know that either.
Right. Well, let's go ahead. And that's the other part. So, again, these aren't necessarily film critics picking these best pictures either.
Yeah, exactly. Like, let's That's why I excluded about, them from my argument.
We're going to talk, like, that comes up in the clip I'm about to play from when we watched the Oscars. But this is pulled up from a website called mentalfloss.com, and it was just about how the Oscar nominees are chosen to be a part of the Academy. This is, quote, to become one of the 6,028 voting members of the Academy, you better be in the business. Aside from requiring an unusually high level of quality and distinction in their respective fields, and that's in quotes, meaning like that's probably flexible.
Yeah.
Considering people like, you know, Stephen Baldwin and like random, like, you know, John Travolta are in it. Candidates must also meet quantitative standards. Writers, producers, and directors must have at least 2 screen credits to their names, while actors must have credited roles in at least 3 films. Candidates in the technical branches like art directors, visual effects supervisors, they must be active in these fields for a certain number of years. Just how many varies on the particular area of expertise. So check this out. If I want to be Academy members don't have the necessary credentials, they can also find 2 or more current members to officially sponsor them.
Oh, so you can just get your best friend.
Right. And so, I mean, and it goes on. And there's definitely some sort of merit to that criteria. But point is that not all these people are film critics. They're people that are in the business to, you know...
It's like, not nothing, though, right? Like these.
No, I'm not saying it's nothing, but I'm just saying it's like 6,000 people are going to choose the quote unquote best picture. You know,
hell,
like
they don't even watch
the
all
best
of them.
Director, right.
Like when 12 Years a Slave won, there was like a whole scandal about people who were like, oh, I didn't watch it, but it was a slavery movie. So.
And we're going to get into that a little bit later. So, point is that, you know, I've always, to come back full circle, when I got older, I started to realize that. And once I actually started to, you know, do things creatively myself or like to, you know, get involved in art, I realized like just kind of how destructive this mode of thinking I think can be. With that being said, I agree with you. It's a like, you know, a fun affair to watch. It's something that's
like we had a good time chilling with all the roommates and siblings and whatnot.
Always. It's always a good time.
Totally.
And this was definitely a weaker year for movies, I think.
I agree.
Overall, that's good. So like, as we said, though, the problem that this Oscars was known for outside of there was not one big movie that, it you know, there was not one big must. Outside
one big
of maybe
category.
Leonardo DiCaprio getting the, you know, best actor was definitely like the main story until you realized that there was no other black people being nominated. And this definitely was an issue that we had talked about a lot to varying degrees.
Man.
And unfortunately, actually, halfway through, there was like a power outage or something. We lost the entire recording. So we actually only have recording towards the end. But there was a moment where you, me, and my brother kind of got into it.
The tension was palpable.
Right.
In the room.
Because these are real issues that we all, you know, that like are more serious beyond just like fucking, you know, having Morgan Freeman present an award or having Chris Rock like make people laugh it off, which, by the way, Chris Rock did a great job.
I think he did too. But I think the fact that his jokes like didn't land with that crowd was exactly why he was so good.
Just putting that out there. Let's get into this. This is just one of the many arguments we had about the racial disparity in the nominees. Let's check it out. Dude, they're really driving home the whole African American.
It's the conversation, man.
Yeah.
Of this award season.
But you know what's gonna make them the two? They're probably just now gonna be like, okay, instead of 5 Best Actor nominations, we'll do 8. We'll give 3 to black people, but they're not gonna win them. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, let's invite them. That's fine. We don't care about that. We just don't want them to win. That's probably what the real deal is going on.
You're president of the Oscars right now, or the Academy.
That's what I would do.
You would just arbitrarily add. Well, here, I asked this on the last thing, and we got.
That's what you want. Because I don't think that they're racist. I don't think they're like, oh, we can't have a black guy. I think they just went like, oh, no, like, we didn't think Michael Jordan was
like
good enough.
Subconscious, like.
But see, that's. That doesn't mean it's not racist. It just means that, like, they, like, don't. Black people aren't even on their radar, you know?
Which
like,
is bad in its own.
Right. Right.
So,
and, but you're right. It's not like
nominations.
Well, like,
no, I agree with Grayson. I don't think they're, like, actively racist.
No, it's what Chris Rock said in the monologue. He's like, dude, these are liberal people that are, like, voting for a black president. They're okay with other people. But when it comes down to them, they're not giving black people any opportunities. You know, it's like that is – it's not like that's inherent. Like they were going out of their way to bring black people down.
But
it's just look at the facts, though.
Who financed Creed?
I don't know. Well, I mean, obviously there's people out there. But there's – look at this way. You had, you know, Creed – oh, whoa, The Weeknd.
For 50 Shades of Grey.
There's a black guy that's nominated.
You know you're worth it.
But at the same time, dude –
Patty loves this song.
the fact that, like – Michael B. Jordan wasn't nominated for Best Actor, I thought it was outrageous, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, that guy...
I don't think it was outrageous. I thought Sly was way better than him.
It's not about better.
If I'm being quite honest, like, I thought he overshadowed him.
But it's not about better. That wouldn't take away from his ability to get nominated for Best Actor.
I just don't, like, I didn't see him.
I don't think
like,
it's out of the realm of possibility that the people in the Academy thought all the people who were nominated were better than Michael
B. Jordan.
I agree.
No, that's fine.
Regardless of
whether
he's black or not.
That's fine, that's fine. I guess. But the point is that there's no black people nominated.
I don't
nominated.
Think it's a crime. I didn't see the movie, but I don't think it's a crime that Michael B. Jordan isn't represented here.
I don't either. In theory, I'm just adding, I'm trying to talk about the fact there's no black people nominated. You know, it's like, it's just,
but
it's funny
else,
to think.
Who else deserved one?
I think Michael B. Jordan deserved at least a nomination.
Okay, maybe.
But like, no.
Who else?
And especially for a movie that was all black, the one white guy gets nominated. And I'm not saying, and again, the fact that.
But that's racist to consider.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, I just think that the fact is that, well, first off, to be honest with you, I don't know besides for Creed, outside of Creed, I can't really think of that
maybe
many
the,
black
the
actors.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba, Beast of No Nation.
That was more just a Netflix thing, though. Like, they were just shutting Netflix out of the award season.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just...
That wasn't, like, active
black
racism.
People have been nominated before.
Like,
I don't see how this is, like, some
that's a convenient,
thing.
Like, thing. For,
but it is, because he won, like, Idris Elba won other awards. It's just the Academy, like... Didn't want any Netflix, like, because the reason.
Has he ever won an Academy Award? The Golden Globes and Academy are very different.
Well, that's the thing, because Netflix released it in theater for a limited time solely for Oscar
consideration,
and they actively ignored it because they don't like their model.
I guess. I'm just saying.
And
though,
I can think of ton of black actors and actresses that have been nominated before for Oscars.
Yeah.
No, of course, but it's the
maybe
second
this
year
was
in
a
row.
Year for black actors.
Second year in a row, but that's I'm just playing devil's advocate kind of here, but I'm just saying like. It's just pretty fishy 2 years in a row and there's not one black person nominated for, like, anything. I mean, it just seems a little, like, suspect. There's got to be at least one that was, like,
worthy.
What about,
like, 12 Years a Slave, though?
That was 2 years before, yeah.
2 years.
Yeah. No, that was 3 years ago. 2 years, yeah.
Well, I think this is more a problem, like Chris Rock was saying, of Hollywood. And, like, there's not roles that are being filled by black people.
Right, but that comes down to...
But it's not necessarily the Oscars not recognizing a slew of black actors that deserve it.
Right.
You know,
it's
just
let's put it this way,
he's outside the cusp.
Right, and it could be, you could follow maybe all the way down to the bottom of like where maybe the, like you said, actors aren't, black people aren't getting the same opportunity to showcase. Right. So, but really I think what he's saying is this is, the Academy is like the overarching, it's like the year in review. And the fact that it's 2 years in a row where there's no black people. Yet there were, again, off the top of my head, Michael B. Jordan and Beast of No Nation is the only ones I can think of. But it's like, those are two, in my opinion, two of the best,
Just refresh it.
Two of the best performances of the year, without a doubt. Like, we both, like, acted when we were watching Beasts of No Nation. We were like, that little kid even was, like, better than half the actors I saw, or at least that I think are getting nominated. But, you know, what
Pushed
are you going to do?
Sapphire. What was that movie?
I don't know. I've heard about it, though.
The really big black girl.
Oh, Precious.
Precious. Precious.
Yeah.
Monique won that year. Best supporting actress.
So, but you're saying, though, then, like, since that they've won in the past, it's like, as I stop bitching.
No, but I'm saying since they won in the past, you can't say then the Oscars are racist, is what I'm saying. Like, no, they're not. There's a ton of black people at the Oscars right now.
Yeah.
You know, if they were racist, then, like, you wouldn't see Chris Rock, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's just like, dude, maybe this was a dead year. Maybe last year was kind of a dead year. Maybe they should be represented
for
more.
For African Americans.
But I think they should be represented more in Hollywood and in the film industry, not at the Oscars. You know, you could go your whole life being a great actor and never, you know, whiff of an Oscar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You
I mean,
can't say they
I
got,
agree.
Like, something against
but
Leo
see,
DiCaprio.
Thing,
dude's been nominated a ton of times.
Thing,
he just hasn't won one.
The
you
thing
can't
with
whine
the,
that you can't don't win one.
But the thing with the Academy, when you figure out how it works, it's just, like, a handful of people that, like, are not arbitrarily, but, like, pick who was the best actor, who was the best, you know, and it's like, but, I mean, it's like, it's since these guys just sit around, they, like, they nominate, they write in who they think they should. And it's like, the thing is, that's why you got movies like Bridge of Spies. It's like, dude, I don't know anyone who fucking saw that movie. You know, like, I don't. Or the
I wanted to see it. Mom saw it. She loved it.
Yeah, Mike saw it. He said it was pretty good, too. But I'm just saying, there's so many other fucking awesome movies that came out this
I know,
year.
But now you're talking about your personal
what I'm saying, though, is I'm talking about the Oscars preference. I'm saying, though, like, the Oscars have strategic, over the years, you can say, objectively, there is a type of movie that makes it to the Oscars, and that tends to be a, you know, Hollywood large budget Hollywood movie, largely white. You can say that objectively. Look at the statistics. Largely white Hollywood movies that take on, like, adversity and stuff. You know, there's like, that's why Tropic Thunder makes fun of the whole fucking thing, you know?
I just, in general, I kind of take, like, I mean, it's easy to say as a young white male, but I kind of take this approach of, like, it's now what's the Oscars supposed to do? Like, okay, next year if they have four, you know, black dudes, then it's like, you know what I mean? Everyone will be like, oh, but now they're just trying to kind of compensate, or, like, you know, if you just don't call, I mean, if you're not racist, you should, maybe you should have 11 white dudes be up there. You know, it doesn't matter. It's race is not a thing, you know, but it's your got your Al Sharptons who are the one always talking
Spike
about race.
Lee.
It's like, well, that's the only, then you're, we're always going to be thinking in black and white. And the same thing with this.
Wait. Time out. Because it's a very real fucking thing.
It's a real thing to be talking about the disproportionate amount of blacks who get arrested or shot by cops.
Which is very.
It's not a thing to be saying, oh, but we're not getting enough Oscar nominations. It's like, is it really racist?
Well, it's because it's a big cultural thing. Like, people go to it. Like, people, like, so many people watch it. It influences culture, you know?
Okay, well, how come there's no white guys up for MVP in the NBA then?
Because they're that is statistically they are better.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, what are you talking about? Not necessarily. JJ Redick was an All-Star, and he was the only guy that was, like, statistically worthwhile. He was on the All-Star team, I thought. JJ Redick was not on the All-Star team. You
sure? The only white guys on the All-Star team were Pau Gasol, who's Spanish.
Well, you sure JJ Redick wasn't on the All-Star team?
Yeah, dead positive. He shot in the 3-point contest. But what I'm saying is, for the MVP race, right, it's based on merit. So I'm fine with if the first 10 guys
Yeah, but
are
Grayson,
black.
That's because they are the best basketball players, though.
I know. And so now you're talking about can't necessarily put a statistical measure on who is the best actor.
Right.
You get 1,000 people, who I'm sure they're not all black, or all white, I mean. You get 1,000 people to make that call of who deserves to be
but
nominated.
But that's not, there's no,
and maybe they
there's
just
no
saw
statistics.
That Michael Jordan was on the cusp.
I'm saying you can't say that, though. You can't make the same claim comparing basketball.
What I'm saying is, now you're into a category where you can't come up with some statistical measure to figure out who's worth it. But it's not outside the realm of possibility that they realized, okay, of all these people, we have 10 slots to fill, and Michael B. Jordan is our 11th guy. He's our 12th guy.
Right, you're right. That's possible.
You know?
I'm just saying
it doesn't mean they're racist.
I don't think anyone's saying they're racist. I don't think anyone's
saying Al Sharpton on the radio today was saying they were racist.
But Al Sharpton says a lot of shit. I mean, you know what I mean?
Well, but if he's the guy talking about your culture thing, like you said, it's very important. And
I don't think Michael B. Jordan picked him, Al Sharpton,
racist.
To be representing his culture. I don't think black people came together and were like, we're going to have him represent
he's
our
been
voice.
Doing it for a long time. He set up marches in 5 cities for today.
That's not, like, to say that they all, you know, that he speaks for a massive population of people.
But he's the guy. He's the guy that's on the radio. He's the guy championing this effort.
Donald Trump. That's like saying Donald Trump speaking for all white people in us. It's like he's the guy on the radio.
No, not when you've got Bernie and Hillary Clinton.
It's a very different thing.
No, but I'm saying I don't think you talk to like Chris. You think he's like.
I'm not talking about Chris. I'm talking about the guys on the radio talking about this issue.
I'm talking about Chris, though. I'm saying if you were to go to Chris.
What does that have to do with anything?
Let me talk and I'll tell you.
Award coming up.
If I'm about to say it before you interrupt me. If you were to ask Chris and go, well, Chris, my Al Sharpton sit on the radio, he'd be like, I don't give a fuck about Al Sharpton. I'm talking about me. I'm not what, but
maybe
how
he
can
would
you
say
how
maybe
can you critique what a whole race of people are saying based off one representative?
But that doesn't that you can't just say this whole controversy is about how the Oscars is racist.
No, it's
all
not.
People
about,
are
you're
saying
racist.
Why aren't there any black people? Oh, why aren't there any black people?
You're
nominated?
Saying racist.
Why aren't there
racist.
Any
wait,
black
wait, no one's saying
Sylvester
people are
Stallone.
Racist. You're saying racist. I'm just saying there's a lack of diversity, and it's a problem because it's
it
2 years in a row.
That's what
but
it is.
What they're saying right. is because Hollywood and
racist
the Academy is
the,
potentially racist. That's what no. Chris Rock said right when he started.
He's a
thing.
Comedian, dude.
He dispelled it, though.
Oh, because he's a comedian, so he doesn't get a say in this culture.
No,
like,
I'm just saying, Grayson, I think people have different opinions about it. I don't think that they're inherently
do.
Racist. I just think that it's a symptom of a larger problem that people aren't giving black people opportunity because they're not on their radar.
That's
I
a
agree
good way
with.
To put it.
That I agree with.
Okay,
I don't think,
Revan Sharpton goes all in, and so he is not the voice of all black people. Let's agree on
of
that.
Of course,
there's a
definitely
problem.
Not.
That's
for
it.
What he says shouldn't be critiqued on, like, you know,
that's exactly.
him.
Why
his
can't
opinions.
I critique what Al Sharpton
no,
saying?
No, I'm saying you shouldn't God. Critique what the Oscars say based on what Al Sharpton's opinion.
I'm trying to defend the Oscars.
I know, from Al Sharpton? I don't think anyone's worried about what Al Sharpton says against the Oscars. That's what I'm saying. All right, heated. But you know, it's
great though.
Yeah, well, it was a good debate. You know, unfortunately, you know, my brother and in my brother's defense, he gets really passionate about certain mm-hmm. things, and I think the idea is like that is something to get passionate. That was a really heated debate, and you could see that debate, that conversation warrants a lot more time. Like yeah. that's a more nuanced discussion that needs to take place there, other than just. Bringing out, you know, certain black presenters to be like, oh, you know, we're going to try better next year. Or we're going to, you know, it's like, meanwhile, here's a shot of, now let's talk about the Danish girl and how important it is for LGBT rights.
Yeah, it's just a very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a very, like, tense time to be alive and a very, like, emotional time where all these, like, issues are being brought to the forefront. And people, it's so visceral and they eviscerate such a, like, emotion in people, you know, like we're a room full of white people
right.
and we're getting heated up about this.
Right.
Like,
but
we can't relate to the plight of black people and other minorities in this country. But like it still emits so much of a reaction.
Definitely.
Like, you can't just gloss over it with like one award show.
Exactly. And I think that's what the Oscars. That's my problem is the Oscars approach it like that, whether or not that's intentional or what that's just me picking up on that is. You know, that's mm-hmm. right. That could be it. But at the same time, it's it's the ultra display of liberalism. But like
it's very
guilt. But
it's
like
white man's
faux,
guilt.
Like pseudo liberal. Like, you know, of like it's so much this like I said, like you brought it up before. The best way to describe this is a circle jerk of kind of mm-hmm. like everybody saying like we have this position to like where the whole world gets to watch our party, our exclusive party, one night of the year of all of Hollywood, the big insiders, not just the actors, but there's also some fat cats there like. You know, that run these studios, the money men, everyone in there. And as Chris Rock's in his monologue of like meeting Obama at one of those parties, and he's like one of three black people there, he's like, dude, all these people out here, they voted for you. You know, like they're down with black rights and they ain't hiring no brothers. Or,
right.
You know, he's like, they're not, they don't care. Like,
it's a deeper problem than just being like direct racism. It's just right. like a subconscious thing that happens, like where we respond better to people of our own skin, which is white.
And I think it's important looking back on that conversation that sprouted up with my brother and I don't think anyone's saying like the Academy is racist.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like I think Chris Rock to go bring it back to Chris Rock. He said, we're not talking about lynching black people on a tree racist. We're not talking about separating them, telling them to drink another water fountain racist. We're talking about not nominating, like not giving them any opportunity racist,
right.
which is there are degrees. It's still racism to a certain extent. Because you're favoring one race over the other, but it's not, you know, overt. Like I don't think anyone was like, I'm going to punish black people by choosing all white actors.
Well,
and I think that was. I think there was a miscommunication in that argument, though, to where I think my brother thought that we were inferring is that there was racist. And I totally get where he comes from on that stance. I don't think there was any. anything like that. I just think that it's a symptom of a larger problem. That
I also just think, like, yes, I would agree that when it comes to, like, a racial plight these days, that plight of Black people in this country is at the forefront, arguably, like, or not inarguably, I should say, like, that is in the news, everything like that. But it's like, I've been reading up a lot of it post Oscars, and like, what about the other minorities we're neglecting in this conversation? Right. And I'm sure we talked about that in the recording on the Oscars, but like, we're putting limits on what a minority is. Like, look at the past director wins, two Mexican guys.
Right.
Like, is that not diverse? Is that not like? And
well, hold on. Let's. Alejandro won it twice, and then before him, Cuarón won it.
Yeah,
right?
Cuarón.
So that's three
yeah.
wins in a row, technically. Yeah.
But I meant two directors.
And before that was Steve McQueen, right? No.
No.
Sorry. Yeah. But No, totally. And again, I don't think this is some master plan. I just think there's a systemic
problem that needs addressing.
Right. And, you know, I've heard a lot of interesting things as well after the Oscars. This is an interesting time to do this podcast because we've had like a week of post analysis that we can draw from. And one of the things I heard, I think it was on NPR, where they were saying that there's actually like a financial reason why you would have more white people in a movie than Black people. Mm-hmm. And I think the gist of it was that Black people don't go out to the movie theaters as often as white people do. And so therefore, you know, there's not really a reason financially, obviously, to appeal to the black market. You know what I mean? The
I
black
can totally demographic. See that being real.
And so, and this is the weird thing, though. Who's to say that just because Black people don't go to movies, there needs to be Black people in movies? Like, why? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't, you know, like, I would.
But
like,
do you think we're making steps forward? I think marginally we are. Like, look at Star Wars, for instance. Diversity was, like, the main theme of that on the outside.
Yeah.
On the outside of the movie, not, like, inside.
You know, in a perfect world, I think it would be, like, dude, we just don't, like, we're privileged white middle-aged men, you know?
Yeah.
And so middle-aged, it's going to sound, I got to check my white privilege here. But I think, like, ideally, like, is, like, I think the perfect scenario is when we're not thinking about it. And it just goes without saying that, like, that, you know, that stupid cheesy line. There's only one race, and that's the human race. But I mean, really, like, okay, that's cheesy as shit. But I think that's something that we should aspire to.
Right.
And I think it gets tricky when you, like my brother brought up, and it was a valid point, is like, now are you going to nominate a Black person that just for the sake of nominating a Black person, which I'm sure we'll see plenty of next year.
I think it'll be noticeable. Yeah,
they're going to try to make up for that. But I'm saying, like, my argument was, this is subjective, of course. But I think Michael B. Jordan was a shoo-in for best actor, like for to be nominated at least.
Yeah. I don't agree, but I totally respect your opinion.
You don't think so?
No.
Based on all the other people?
He was overshadowed by Sly. I think he was great, but he wasn't like...
Two separate categories.
I agree. I just like...
Supporting and actor.
Yeah, I didn't like... He wasn't on my shortlist. I thought he was a great performance. I didn't like...
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
I just think.
I wasn't wowed. I thought it was great. I don't think not him.
And I think my other second choice, which would have been a shoe-in, was the kid in Beast of No Nation.
Yes.
Like, and I think both of them would
Idris
have been.
Idris Elba.
I probably still would have given it to Leo.
Idris Elba.
Yeah, Idris Elba was Elba. Sorry.
Ali G Elba, with the
he was
stealing
good.
The night, dude.
Yeah, that was great. But
side note: did you know that they didn't know he was coming as Ali G?
No, I didn't know. I know.
To come
I heard
with Sacha Baron Cohen.
He checked it with Chris Rock, though. I heard.
Yeah.
Like, and he like ran all the jokes by Chris Rock to make sure that they were like he had to get the green light for the Black jokes before on Chris Rock.
Anyway, sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
What I was gonna say was, whatever. And that's opinion. And I don't think that they should. I remember Lena Dunham for the creator, writer, director, and
Girls.
Lead actress of Girls, the HBO television show Girls. She got a lot of flack, I think it was around the second season, for not having any Black people in the show.
Yeah.
And I remember her being like, well, maybe the character doesn't hang out with Black people or something. You know what I mean? Or like, maybe that's just how it goes. Like, to be honest with you, I have, in Austin, Texas, one of the most racially segregated places in the country, I have, I think, two solid Black friends.
Yeah.
I have zero Asian friends here in Austin. Mm-hmm. I've got more Black friends and Asian friends elsewhere, but here in Austin... Zero Asian friends, one really good Indian friend, and for the most part, everyone else is white.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like that's
a product of our upbringing.
I'd say about five or six. Yeah. If you want to count Patty as a Panamanian.
Hispanic
whatever.
Friend.
Yeah, yeah. Hispanic. Well, he's not. That wouldn't be Hispanic. It'd be like, whatever. Point is, it's like, not white.
He is biracial.
But so if you were to make a movie about you and I, Like, there wouldn't be, if we wanted to make it realistic, there's not really any, like, there wouldn't be any black people really in it. So, I mean, it's one of those things, like, that's not that inaccurate. Now, that doesn't necessarily answer the question whether or not there should be, or have we could benefit from having them. I think what it comes down to, too, is Louis C.K., when he, his ex-wife goes from white to black, he just switches up, you know, like, throughout the show, in the FX show, Louis. Like, if you see his ex-wife, you only see her every once in a while, but sometimes she'll be black, sometimes she'll be white, different actresses. And when asked about it, he's like, I don't know, she was just a good actress.
Yeah, and that, but that also goes along with, like, how comedy bits kind of just never align. Like, they're always changing, you know what I mean? He just, like, embellishes the truth in a comedy bit. So he does that in the show, and it works, it still works beautifully.
But he was like, dude, no, but also he was just saying she auditioned. She was a good actress. I liked her.
Yeah. He wasn't looking for, like, white ex-wife. He was just looking for a good actress.
It's so silly, too. Like, okay, let's say if you were to put, like, you know, like, you were to make a movie, right? And the wife was black and their kid is white, but the husband's white. And, like, normally the audience goes, wait, that can't work. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't make sense. But neither does fucking Iron Man falling out of a goddamn window. And, like, you know what I mean? It's like, dude, why? Like, we're able to suspend our imaginations for different things that are far more crazy than, like, mixing up race. Why can't we just, like, I don't see the big problem about just having, like, a black person.
It just points to the fact that it's a very sensitive issue.
Yeah, I guess. But it's right, like, now. Yeah, I mean, that would get a pass for me. But to bring it back to what we were saying before is the way the Oscars deals with this issue. Like, let's talk about the hypocrisy of just having that be the main narrative going into it, you know, of the fact that there's no black people being nominated. And of course Chris Rock roasts them, and everyone's kind of laughing at, like, oh, that's
really
so true.
Uncomfortable laughs.
True, yeah, but it's just at the same time, it's like he's making jokes. It's like they're like, let's have a big party and let's not invite any, or like, you know what I mean, like, we're gonna have black people there, but we're gonna talk about how we, like, may or may not be racist, and we're gonna celebrate the fact that we may or may not be racist on live television. You know what I mean? It's just this weird, it was this weird like, relationship going on between, like, performance of, like, the show being the Oscars and the audience, and the controversy just kind of lingering in the middle, you know? Of, like, it's, and they, like, acknowledge the fact that there's something wrong, but then they go about with all this other political correct bullshit and, like, you know, talking about the Danish girl and LGBT rights, and then what I wanted to eventually get to, fucking the Lady Gaga segment, which was the beginning of another debate that mostly you and I had, you know, about... Like, we just kind of, Lady Gaga comes on, I guess, which is my least favorite category, is these best original songs.
Yeah,
which
it's
is bullshit.
Which Sam Smith won for some fucking reason.
That nobody listens to that goddamn song. It's this idea that, like, you know, that you have to have a song that was written for a movie.
Yeah.
But it's like, how many good...
Bond has been doing that for a while, like Bond movies.
Right, and Skyfall won or whatever with Adele, right? But the idea, and that was a decent song, whatever. But the idea is that, like, when it's like majority of the time, a lot of these songs aren't very good, but they're only not, and that there's a small pool to pick from. So it's like you get these really mediocre songs that they try to play to the audience, you know, to fill time.
Yeah.
And so it's just already kind of weird. And Lady Gaga, I guess, wrote this song, like, Until It Happens to You. I guess that is some weird shit. And she played it. It was about sexual assault, and it had to do, I guess it was from a documentary about sexual assault.
Yeah.
That was or maybe not nominated for anything, but
again, another sensitive issue right now.
Right, totally. Yeah. And I'm totally, I'm not dismissing that as a sensitive issue. Totally, I get that.
Oh, I'm not. Yeah,
right.
You,
but
yeah.
She comes on and plays it, and she does it in a very intense way. And we were watching this thing for like 30 seconds. We're like, the song's like,
I didn't really like the song.
No, yeah, it's so weird.
And I like, love the message. Go for it, Gaga. That's awesome.
Yeah,
didn't love the
actually,
song.
I do like the idea. I will say, let's preface it by saying I do like that idea of Until It Happens to You. You know, Bill Maher did. Did you see the new Real Time with Bill Maher?
No.
He talks about how Republicans. There's certain Republicans. You know, like most Republicans are deny climate change, anti-gay marriage. Harsh on drugs, but then he named all these random Republicans that, for one reason or another, were for these objections that Republicans normally have. For instance, like Jeb Bush is easy on immigration and drugs because he's married to an immigrant and his daughter had drug problems. So therefore, so it's like until it happens to you, you're anti. You know, and so I like that idea of the song. I liked it all, but the rollout of it all and the idea. Let's put it this way. Who was in the middle of all this? Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the one that was passionate? We're putting it through her and we're listening to her words. We can barely understand a goddamn thing she's saying. I mean, it's like a big performance. And it's just so over the top. And you literally, I remember them going to Rachel McAdams and she's crying, you know, as if like it's this big, like this issue's been around. Okay. Like it's not like, don't pretend like you're watching.
But there is action being taken. Like society is adjusting.
There's a song being played where a girl's been, took an hour to get her makeup ready
which,
and look
which,
there.
Which to be fair, millions and millions of people are watching as
right.
well.
That's fair. And well, we can talk about that after this.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead. And, so I guess it's the idea of this fault, like these heroes, everyone wants to play the hero at the Oscars or at least liberal Hollywood. And so, they have this new.
It's definitely a stage to do it, though.
Right, and so let's just. I had a problem with that. I definitely were. We were all like four drinks deep at this point, but let's. My thing with Lady Gaga what? Though is just that she was. There's nothing to suggest, and again, this is subjective. But
live?
I think
we're
that
live.
Yeah, we're live. My thing with Lady Gaga. Is that you look at some of her big songs, Poker Face or fucking
Alejandro.
It's Alejandro, Alejandro, Ale, 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 or Poker, Poker, Poker.
Are you
it's
deconstructing
like,
pop music right now? Because it's dude, pretty straightforward.
Right.
I don't know,
right,
Dylan,
so,
I have heard you.
No, no, but so, but really quick, though, just to finish my point really quick, it's just that it's not, it's good pop music. It's fun to dance to in like a club. It's all like good. It's overly produced as shit. She's not playing piano in these fucking songs. It's like, her singing in like a really expensive studio, a really expensive mic, and they loop it back, and it's club music, right?
So what's, but what's your point?
That she's celebrated as this like revolutionary, or that she was like breaking through, and she was a true artist when she would just wear these outrageous clothing, and then
but
people.
But who else was doing that? No one. So she was like
wearing outrageous clothing,
she was breaking the mold. She
what about
was
Marilyn
like,
Manson? You know what I mean? Or like someone like that, like just doing like really shock for shock
but
value.
But I think
like,
that Max brought up a good point, which was that it wasn't happening when she brought it back. It's okay. Almost like the pop idol that Madonna was in the '80s that had kind of like disappeared.
But Madonna was a she like was
Madonna
I'm just saying the difference between right like the music quality and the shock value. It's anyone any. Crazy person can go out and wear like a swan on her fucking back and then like but if you don't have the artist right but if you don't have the artist like the artistry if you're not making good music or good art then it's like who fucking cares you know like
no I don't think like Lady Gaga's gonna go as one of the greats she just left a mark like on
for being wearing outrageous clothing though right
no I would say more than that too
what else then
like her songs definitely her just her comments in the media
what about her songs would leave a mark.
I don't know, man. They speak to different people. Like, there's millions of people who
that
listen and
her.
Think
dude,
differently than you and I.
I wouldn't
right
disagree with that. You can say it about literally every artist, though. I'm talking
exactly.
about like,
exactly. like, she just happened to be one who was at that place in that time and made a mark.
Right, like, but what's the mark? That's the conversation we're having right now. What's the mark that she left? Like, what are you saying?
Well, she's totally different now because she's like gearing away from that. Like,
I know, but
it,
when
that.
You were saying when she made a mark, what did she make?
It was
that's
like a very Madonna
at.
Meets like Bowie-esque like. Collision of just like being outlandish and like appealing to
but see,
LGBT
out, so
crowd.
Dylan's
like
trying
that.
To trap you into saying though that it was because of her fashion and not because
right.
No,
I'm
I
saying.
Don't think it was her fashion at all. I think that was part of it.
But what? So what about like you think that her music then was a perfect mixture of Bowie?
People loved
and,
it.
And Bowie, but dude, I agree. Obviously, people loved it. It was a huge number one hit single. I'm saying you think her music was a mixture of Bowie or Madonna?
No, I'm saying she had like the aesthetic of
so
both. She had
what,
elements.
Of
but
course,
she,
aesthetic.
Did,
we're
like,
talking about the distinction between the music and the aesthetics,
regardless of whether or not like anyone here loves Gaga's music, there are plenty of people who didn't like Madonna's music.
Exactly.
So I'm certain,
right,
I'm
right. And
of
I guess.
It, and like.
What I'm saying is it comes down to maybe it's subjective, but I definitely think that Madonna
Pharrell doesn't age.
Madonna pushed the genre. She had like, you know, some of the catchiest.
I'm not disagreeing with you on that.
No, I'm saying what Stephanie said. Okay. I'm just saying like Madonna, there is a distinction between Madonna and Lady Gaga. You know, like I definitely think so. Would you agree with that? Like,
I guess.
Yeah.
I guess I don't really care enough, if I'm being honest, like about Lady Gaga or Madonna.
Right, so that's a good example of, you know, like it's funny. Looking back on that, it's like, why do we argue about such stupid shit?
I know another but tense argument.
Right, but I was fired up. I kind of got angry. I don't know. I just get angry at this false narrative they try to push on us. You know what I mean? Or like, or at least they're trying to create it in front of my eyes, and that where I'm supposed to look at this girl and think she's a hero. You know, it's like
I mean, but who knows, man? Like, if only we had someone on here who could provide that insight, you know, of like,
I guess
this spoke to me and like, why did that speak to you?
But
okay,
also
awesome.
What it came back to is I just, it wouldn't help. It didn't help that it was Lady Gaga that was the person. That was what our argument kind of came by is I always viewed her kind of as a can, you know, it's just kind of like a blowhard, like all dolled up. Cause it was like a lull in pop music at the time, you know, and where she was like created like, So I think that didn't help. And then now she's like, okay, now she all of a sudden she's the spokeswoman for sexual assault, which I guess it did come out that she was raped, you know, as a young girl or something. Yeah. That,
so it was a touchy
that
subject
coincided
for her.
With her performance at the Oscars.
Right.
But, you know, it's just one of those things, like, this is a tough, this is like a tightrope, right? You know, this is a tough line to walk, because it's like, I kind of felt the same way about Caitlyn Jenner and all that, you know, like, like, why am I supposed to celebrate her? You know, like, I have no fucking problem.
Whatever
the hell you want to be in life or whatever you want to do. I mean, I think we're on the same agreement. Like, it's like, I know that's like stereotypical millennial.
Take on all this, like, especially with like Caitlyn Jenner, it's like, when it happened, it was just like, oh, this is new and interesting. Like, this is something huge. Like, it's springing
was
up.
Was it new, though?
But no, here's the thing. No, huge is what I said. Because it sprung up, like, conversation, like, in people's minds. It brought up, like, these ideas that people weren't used to, you know, and it made people uncomfortable. So we started talking about it. The problem I have with all this, like, very intense political correctness, and I'm for it in a lot of ways, but what I'm not for is, like, the fact that no one can be wrong anymore.
Right.
You know, like, there was this time where, like, Caitlyn Jenner, like, when that was all happening, when she finally made her transition, like, I think it was on John Oliver or something, they showed a bit where, like, a news report, weatherman, like, he's a weatherman, was, like, responding, he's like, so what do I call her? Like,
right,
he's like, what is she? Like, is she a man? Is he a guy? And, like, and he was kind of joking a little bit, but it was, like, genuine questions of, like, what, like, how do I process this? And it's like, oh, okay, and then, of course, he probably got, like, Twitter hate and shit like that.
Fired or
and,
something.
Yeah, and it's like, dude, like, it, with the Oscars and all these things, and like, and with racism and all these political, like, socially pressing issues that we're talking about, it's like, you go back and listen to that argument with Grayson earlier. I think I disagree with him, but like, he's allowed to have those sensibilities and arguments. You know, I'm not going to mad at him for not aligning with my ideology. That's not how change comes. That's not like, that's how change comes. Not, and also by not having an award show be solely about race.
Yeah. Like, and also keep in mind, these are like conversations we're having while we're watching the Oscars. These conversations, and also you could see the majority of the there's a lot of, it's a miscommunication, which is what we're arguing.
Exactly.
Like a lot of moment, like that first one when we're arguing with Grayson, we were actually kind of all saying the same thing. But it just,
I don't care
was,
that what's his name won for Bridge of Spies. I just didn't expect him to.
No, but it was also about like, you know, like, we're none of us saying that the Oscars are racist, you know, like that wasn't the whole point, but there was this weird, language is such a shitty thing in general about expressing emotion, you know, unless you're like a poet or you're Shakespeare. It's like, you really, it's tough to really express what you're feeling, and some people can take it in a different way or interpret your words a different way, and so that it changes. I think we're all on the same picture, at least in that room. I don't think any of us were racist.
No.
And I don't think any, at least, you know, not aware of it or something, you know. But the idea is, yeah, I think so. A lot of that comes from a miscommunication, and that's where it comes back to the Oscars, thinking that they can do these broad messages of like, we are okay with LGBT.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And let's push in your face. It's like, dude, so am I. I still think The Danish Girl looks like a shitty movie. You know what I mean? Like, I don't,
yeah.
Eddie Raymond annoys me. You know what I mean? It's still one of those things where it's like, the idea of pushing it in your face. It's like, that's why we have Donald Trump, I honestly think. Not to digress here, but it's like, I think it's because
a lot of
people are getting tired of this like political correctness gone awry, you know, or gone amok. It's like, dude, that nowadays, I think there's certain people that wouldn't necessarily have a problem with, you know, selling gay people or like marrying or like gay people getting married, but when they tell that, when they're being like told that they have to accept it, it's like, yeah, and obviously you and I accept all that shit, we're progressive young kids, but at the same time, not everyone's like that, and they didn't grow up around it, and to force it on them,
you get a visceral response, you get an aggressive response,
and if you're gonna naturally get an aggressive response because they didn't grow up that way, they're not educated on that, you know, it's a different way of life to them, and then to shame them for not thinking that way, that causes anger and animosity in which they want a backlash.
Yep.
What's the best way to do that? Vote for fucking Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I do think that they are wrong in not allowing someone to have equal rights. You know what I mean? But the thing is, though, you know, like, that's another issue. I think, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because they don't think it, or they don't, you know, want to necessarily be around you, or say the big thing is, do you think Caitlyn Jenner is beautiful?
I guess. No. Like,
I mean, come on. Would you have sex with Caitlyn Jenner?
No.
Okay, there you go. But yeah, now it's like you saying, like, I would not be in mind. Just be like, you know,
that's
like,
transphobic.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's one of those things. Like, but it's the truth. It's the way I feel. Maybe in next,
just
later,
not my personal preference.
Next generations, you know, like there'll be. But so I'm just saying, it's one of those things. Like, we have to be realistic about this, you know, and not force people into this kind of shit. And I just get that with the Lady Gaga, partly because it's trying to push this as Lady Gaga. there's a little too much of her in everything, you know, of like, that's this is fair. Her thing. This is a, blah. You know, she, and even, I remember she won the Golden Globe as well. She beat out Kirsten Dunst for Fargo, which I thought was a joke. But like Lady Gaga was on American Horror Story, which I didn't watch.
Fuck
it, to be
that
fair.
Show.
Really? No
I
good?
That show, yeah.
Well, I didn't watch it, to be fair. Stephanie watched it, a friend of ours, and she said it was decent. But
we gave you a classic, ugh.
Yeah, when it feels patented, ugh.
it's been a while.
Yeah, so I think that it's literally like she's a brand, you know, and I think every time they
exactly.
Kind of, and it's the same with a lot of these, like when Sean Penn won the Oscar and he goes up and starts talking about George Bush. I don't necessarily disagree, and I think it's cool they have a platform to do it in which, but I can't help but think, just look that it's coming out of Sean Penn's mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Sean Penn, what do you fucking do? You know what I mean? Like you make movies, you pretend. You're a pretender, and you get paid for it. Like, there's guys out there, there's like volunteers in Flint, Michigan right now that are flying out fucking like bottles of water and handing them out to like families. There's people out doing that. There's people volunteering for civil rights
heroes.
Issues.
Yeah.
Those are fucking heroes, and they're putting their fucking, you know, they're putting their hands in the dirt and getting dirty doing this issues. You going up on a stage and being like, I think that we should come back global warming and like, blah, and like LGBT rights are good.
I loved what he said,
no,
but I know what you're saying.
And I think they should. They're in the right for saying it. All I'm saying, though, is that too much of it is coming out of their mouth, and it's like there's not really resulting in action.
It's elitism as well.
And it's so representational of our generation, or these, like, they call them slacktivists, I think I've been seeing.
Absolutely.
Of just this idea of like, I'm gonna wear a shirt that says Bernie Sanders on there, and I'm gonna like, and I'm totally cool with gay rights, but you know, I don't have any gay friends, or you know, I don't want to hang out, like, I don't want to you know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not gonna volunteer for Bernie Sanders. Yeah. I'm not gonna like, Flint, Michigan's bad. I'm gonna put a hashtag on there and like, you know, hopefully someone will see it, and I'll, you know, and I'll get angry at Trump supporters because like they're racist. But it's like, dude, at the end of the day, what are you doing to make the world a better
place?
Well,
that's why I thought my favorite moment, and kind of I guess wrapping this up, my favorite moment of the Oscars was when Louis C.K. came out to present a short film documentary or whatever, and he was like, I mean, you guys are great. Like, you're going to get awards and then you're going to go home millionaires. Like, this Oscar is going to go home in a Honda Civic. Like,
right.
It's like, yeah. He was like, let's tone it down a little bit. And I
totally
agreed with him.
Yeah. I'm in the same exact ballpark. I think that the whole Hollywood liberal thing, and we're liberal. You know what I mean? Like, I'm voting Sanders. You know what I mean? I'm in it. I'm with it. You know, I get
feel
it.
Feel the burn, guys.
Yeah. I believe in climate change. I think it's the number one issue facing this country. I get it. I'm all for it. But this idea, you know, of like Brad Pitt, my best example, Brad Pitt producing 12 Years a Slave and then casting himself or taking the part of the guy, like the enlightened Canadian.
Oh, that was the worst part of the movie. Very, very conveniently.
Yeah.
Like,
how
I'm the white savior. Here I am. Like,
what do you mean you don't have equal rights? Oh, my God. Here in Canada.
It's like, dude, you're on a slave, like, slave plantation.
Right,
like,
yeah. It's like, dude, I don't like what you're doing, you know, blah, blah, blah. But of course, he gets that role, you know. And
he was executive producer.
Right.
He also
I get
accepted
it.
The Oscar with Steve McQueen. Like.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, and I guess, you know, they've done a lot too as well. I'm not doubting it. And I don't necessarily, let's put it this way. There's worse problems to have.
And there are definitely celebrities like, I would say like Brad Pitt, like with his association with Angelina Jolie and like Leo and all of them. Like, they are doing good things. Like, they've set up foundations. They've blah, blah, blah. Created institutions that mend these social issues.
Right.
But it's like, yeah, I know what you're saying. It's just
it's just too much about them and their brand. But at the same time, though, maybe their brand could bring awareness to certain things.
Yeah.
I don't know. So one thing that you and I were talking about, or I was just looking at it in terms of like, you know, what if you were a little kid? Like, we both were. We were kids. We've been watching the Oscars for over a
once
decade.
Once I was a child.
Over a decade we've been watching this shit.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer, you
More.
Know? It's like, if you're a kid and you're watching this, like, what are the values and types of things it perpetuates, especially with this activism?
I
want to
see fucking Mad Max explosions if I'm a kid. Like,
well, there's
I
that.
Mean, I still do, but
well, that's a perfect segue. So I think, you know, if you are a kid, this is the industry, right? And this is the thing that you want to make movies or you want to be get involved in the arts, and you look to the Oscars as a way of celebrating the best, right?
Yeah.
That's what their word, the
yep,
best.
The best.
You know, and so you're looking at what is clapped at, what is celebrated, what is looked forward to. Excuse me. You see, first off, not only that, do you see slacktivists and just half-assed people that wear shiny suits that are millionaires That talk about, you know, issues that meanwhile there's no black people being nominated. You don't even see that discrepancy or that sort of bullshit.
Yeah.
But you also see, and this will bring us to our last point here, a movie like Spotlight winning Best Picture.
Yeah.
And that was a big moment. We definitely didn't expect that. And
not surprised in retrospect.
Right. Let's go ahead and listen to when that happened. All right. Let's see this. Best Picture.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Watch Bridge of Spies. Take it all.
Come on, dude. Man. Just Max, please.
Yeah.
Such a cool.
That would be just the best, dude. It's going to be the fucking Revenant.
What?
Or is he? Oh, what? What?
Wow.
Holy shit.
That's such a political maneuver. You know what I mean? Like that's such a like that. How is that? That's like some Argo shit. You know, Argo or
Michael Keaton.
Dude, I mean, that's pretty bad.
He's such a bro.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Like an important film, but god damn, seriously? Spotlight, Best Picture?
He just like
in a year with Mad Max.
So like anticlimactically as well.
That move. Oh god, that irks me. So yeah, we were needless to say, we were surprised by that.
Yeah.
I stick by my comment. In a year with Mad Max, Spotlight wins.
Oh, don't talk to me about that, man.
I can't help but tie it in back to this trying to perpetuate or project this idea that there are these enlightened activists and that Hollywood is, you know, more important than you know, whatever. Like the reality, man, the reality of the situation is there are only a handful of people. So the idea, my whole thing, first off, let's unpack this a little bit. Let's really get, because people say it's subjective, right? You know, you can pick. My problem with it though is, let's look at Spotlight. First off, good movie, right?
Great movie. I thought it was great.
I thought it was great as well. I enjoyed it. I was very educational. I learned a lot in it. You know,
I was super engaged. I thought it was really well done.
Very well acted.
Yeah.
Superb performances all around.
Technically, it was great. Yeah.
We're going to hear from Movies Mike in a little bit, but just a little sneak peek. He brings up a good point where it's a bunch of really beautiful people, though, right? It's got the Hollywood touch
on
it.
Mark Ruffalo didn't look that beautiful, but...
But come on, he's an above average, good-looking dude.
I know what you're saying.
And it was definitely, though, a pretty straightforward film. I even almost categorized it as like a documentary with like really good reenactments.
And that's fine for what it is. Like,
right.
It's not a knock. But like, we were talking about this a little bit... One reason, like, I'm kind of annoyed that Spotlight won, and I mean, like, my for perfect example, like, my parents were like, Phil, did you see Spotlight? Like, it was fucking amazing. Best movie of the year. And I was like, no, I've been hearing good things about it. So, like, they inspired me to watch it. And I was like, yeah, that was really great. And then, like, that's where the conversation ended. You know what I mean? I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, really terrible. What happened to all those kids? Like, absolutely not taking away from that. But the movie itself was just like... All right, it was business as usual, is what I keep saying when I refer to this movie. And I texted you the other day because I just finished The Big Short, which I'm surprised it didn't get much more love at the Academy Awards this year. Like,
good
the movie.
Movie
was phenomenal.
Good movie,
it was so good. It was like, and it broke ground, and like the editing style, like you say, was so different. And like the right one, I mean, it won Best Original Screenplay, which is great. But it's like you compare those two, and it's like they're documentary-esque as well. You're like both of them, right?
Right.
There's a lot of based on true event movies this year. Like I think Revenant as well, and
But I was gonna say I responded to your text there in a way that I saw both those movies. I said they're both very documentary-esque in the way that they're just trying to. They're mostly concerned as a project, in describing a certain story to you in as much accurate detail as possible, which is why I think we both agree that it's kind of like a documentary, both of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, like, you know, Spotlight, whereas like if you were taking a class by like a really boring like droll teacher, gives you every nitty gritty detail,
just like PowerPoint,
right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But it gives you really good detail and lets you make sure that you know just about every single nook and cranny of the idea. While Big Short was more like the hip laid back teacher who like, you know, like, you know, tells you that's younger and tells you about
no
like why
grades.
Grades. Yeah. But tells you like this, you get an equal. They both did a good job of in educating you enough to like get you to the where you really understood the story. Now,
well, like, I take it even a step further. I think I said this to you as well. Is like, I always like to use a comparison. I steal this from Breaking Bad. Is like Spotlight was classical music, and The Big Short was jazz. You know, like listening to jazz or listening to classical is beautiful, and it takes and it immerses you in, and it's very like technically brilliant. Like if you read that sheet music, like it'd be crazy, right? But like with The Big Short and the jazz comparison, it's like it's electric, it's dynamic, it's all over the place, and like I felt like I was like. Like short of breath at times in that movie, just because I felt like I was going along for this like ride, whereas with Spotlight I just chilled, you know, I laid back and I was like.
And then you have Mad Max.
Oh, but I mean, if our usual listeners have listened at all, you would know how much we fucking love this movie, especially me, I think.
And I'm all for this being a subject, like artist subjective. I get that, but let me use my analogy of the kid. You're a kid watching this, or you know, you're an alien looking down on American culture. And this is perpetuating the quote-unquote best. We've already talked about on the slacktivist aspect of it. But how, if we're critiquing art, right? Okay, so let me just try to make some little objective stances on this. What is largely subjective? If we're talking about art and we're critiquing art and we're literally talking about the industry that pumps this art out, you think that to perpetuate the art form, you would emphasize creativity, would you not?
Yes,
I think that
absolutely.
I would say that is objectively a strong part of art is the creative aspect of it.
If not the core.
Yeah. Right. And so I think that with that being said, a movie, how in the fuck does Mad Max not win Best Picture? I don't know how to articulate that in a way that is not.
I still don't get it. Yeah.
It's just one of those things, like it took risks. It was, it was over the top, but like
it
so
was progressive in its themes.
It was detailed. Yeah. It was there was undertones. There was great story.
It was well crafted by look how many fucking Oscars it won. Like the technical aspect of it was incredible.
And it was just so out there. It was imaginative. It was everything. And when you're watching that movie, it took you out of your
30
life.
Years after the first one came out. Nonetheless,
it was literally like whatever. I mean, I guess different people have different experiences. I know some people that didn't even like it, but I think overall, it was an incredible achievement.
Yes.
I'm not to say that Spotify wasn't, but I'm just
Spotlight.
Saying, Spotlight. Sorry, I keep saying Spotify. It's not that wasn't. I'm just saying though that if you look at these two movies side by side, there's one that just played bare bones. And felt very concerned with just getting this message out, which is the Oscars, okay? It's like, we want to get this message out. It's not concerned with what's really good or bad. It's concerned with them getting their fucking agenda out there, you know? And I felt like that was Spotlight in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. Was it so much concerned with being an artful, you know, movie or like really pushing the boundaries of the medium or even just being different or anything? It gave us exactly what we wanted, but it did it accurately in a way that we understood who the good guys were and the bad guys were. And I think that, ladies and gentlemen, is the Oscars in a nutshell.
I totally agree, man. I'm with
you know,
there.
And I think that bothers me. Going back, we look at a lot of best pictures, and it's kind of follow a similar category.
Yep.
We had Birdman, Argo, which you and I were talking about the last time. You watch Argo once, you're never going to see it goddamn again. Most of you probably don't even know what that movie is because it was so insignificant.
Yep.
But it had political messages. Movies Mike, actually.
Our main dude.
Compiled.
Our intern.
He's going to go back. He actually found out about this too. He saw a trend as well. And he did a little retrospective on the Best Picture winners. Let's go ahead and check that out.
My name is Mike motherfucking Movies McClure, the cinematic sensation, the filmmaking fanatic. And I love watching the Oscars because I'm tickled by the idea of honoring art, especially the highest form of art. Movies, and that's non-negotiable. But the politics of the Academy Awards are very, very, very fucking stupid. In my opinion, the Academy handpicks Best Picture winners not based on merit, but by which movie advances the illusion that the Oscars are prestigious. Here's how the last 10 Best Picture winners aligned with that agenda. Spotlight. Child abuse is bad. Attractive reporters reporting things is good. As long as it's pre-internet, so there's a scene of them at the library sifting through records after closing.
Can we just get one more minute?
Birdman. Critics aren't artists. Artists are artists. 12 Years a Slave. Slavery is bad. Attractive white people saving the day is good. Argo. Iranians are bad. Hollywood ingenuity is a life-saving force both here and abroad. Hollywood ingenuity is good. the artist. Modern Hollywood is sometimes bad, but old Hollywood was only good, even with overt racism and coney boobs. And if you don't like 2 hours of miming and dancing, you don't get art. You are bad. The King's Speech. Speech impediments are bad, but a great acting coach can fix any disgusting deformity. Acting is good. The Hurt Locker. War is bad. War can also be addicting, which is hella weird. Also, we let a girl make a war movie. Sexism is over. Hollywood is good. Slumdog Millionaire. Dark people in movies used to only be bad, but now there are 1 billion Indians, so we honor them, their rich culture, and their global box office receipts with a shiny gold statue. Shiny gold statues are good. No Country for Old Men. The Oscars are bad, but even a broken clock is right twice a day. The Coen brothers are good. The Departed. Matt Damon is bad. Leo fucks his girlfriend. Seriously, what are the odds of that? How many dames are there in Boston? Same chick? Come on.
All right, thank you so much, guys. That was last second. That was fun, though. We had all this extra footage. Felt like we had
lots
to do something
of fun.
About it. And yeah, you know, as we've got different stuff going on, we've gotten some really good feedback for our last Love is a Myth episode.
Yeah.
Seems like that was, and I'm proud of it. I think we both are really proud of that.
I think we're going in a good direction.
Yeah, definitely. And so we're going to start taking this more serious, which is why also we did this little extra thing to kind of... Because we want to, we want to make these projects a little bit bigger and more substantial, and add some more production techniques. We're experimenting with some things. These things take time, though. So,
yeah.
So we might come out with some small things in between here, but we are going back to our regular episode format, which is focusing on a single movie or extra movie and themes. And,
back to the movies, just in
right.
general.
And that will be coming out whether in the next week, 2 weeks. And it's as we stated before, last episode will be about The Social Network.
Ooh, The Social Network. Guys, I'm really excited to get really deep into this movie. I've watched it again recently, and I just fucking love this movie, dude. It's so good. Like, I'm just going to get this out now. Like,
should have won Best Picture.
Should have won Best Picture.
But
the King's Speech.
The King's Speech.
Goddamn King's Speech. It's a fucking travesty.
And the fucking liberal-ass Academy Awards with their...
That movie, okay, yeah, we'll save it for the, like, so actually I'm just going to get my praise out of the way now because we're talking about other things in that movie, but, like, it's just fucking good. I think it's going to age very well. I think it's a very good, like, timestamp on society. You know, it captures an era very well, an era that's still going, I should say. But, yeah, so I've been getting my notes together. I got some good stuff for Dylan. In that episode, I'm going to be kind of more of the host, which you may see in the dynamic of the episode. Dylan likes to talk a little more. I like to feed off that. I think it works really well, but we're going to see how that goes. Like we said, with this new direction comes new experimentation and new ideas and just changing around. If you guys like, dislike anything, be sure to let us know on our contact and social media. You know where that is, Facebook, website, Made for Podcast Movies, our iTunes page. We've got a Gmail. Twitter's kind of been low, but I'll keep posting on there as well. And yeah, that's all I got. Watch The Social Network.
Yeah, hit us up. I mean, I keep getting texts from all these people that say like they want to write in, or they tell me they like
and
the episode and they blah, blah, blah. But it's like, dude, yeah, feel free to jump in here, man. This is a rare opportunity where you have kind of like a movie club, like a book club, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you can watch along and it forces you to, I don't know, maybe you guys aren't in school anymore or you don't have anything that's pushing you intellectually. And maybe this could be that opportunity. So who knows? Social Network's a great way to break into that. It's a very accessible movie for everyone.
Yeah.
And again, we will be pushing the boundaries and it'll be a full experience as was the last one. And yeah, thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, fuck the Oscars.
Fuck them, love them, hate them, whatever. Thanks, guys.